of the throne of grace, of the mercy seat of God. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we come, Lord, not in our own strength, Lord, not by might nor by power, but, Lord, we come by your Spirit. Lord, we don't come on our own reckoning, on something that we've earned. We come in the name of Jesus, and we come only by the blood of Jesus. There's no other way, Lord, for us to come. Lord, I thank you tonight that you've taught us that our confidence is not in ourselves, but, Lord, we can have confidence in you tonight. So, Lord, right now, release boldness into each and every one of us in the name of Jesus, that we can rise up as the children of God and be bold, Lord, bold right in the face of our enemies, bold right in the face of discouragement and sorrow and heartache, bold right in the face of sickness and distractions of every other kind. Father, boldness, I pray, in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, God. We thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen? Amen. Boldness. Boldness, just to stand in the midst of whatever it is and say, no, this is what God has said. Amen? Boldness. Boldness. You know, the story in Exodus, I think we might have something there. In Exodus, the story of Moses going to Pharaoh. And we know how Moses, when he originally was approached by God in the burning bush, remember how Moses was extremely, he was, what's that?
Frail.
No, he was shy. He wasn't so bold. He was, I was listening to what they're saying. He wasn't so bold, but he was shy. He wasn't so quick to jump up and say, absolutely, God, let's go get them. He was saying, Lord, how can I do it? You know, I can't do it. You know, Lord, it's just me. I can't speak right, whatever. And God had to convince him that with God going with him, he could do it. And, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, how much time do you spend convincing me? How many years do I got to spend walking with the Lord for the Lord and his patience to convince me, you know, that I am able in his strength to accomplish what he calls me to do? And Lord, and so now here Moses goes, and he goes to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, finally, after a couple plagues, he says, okay, I understand you want the Hebrews to worship their God. Let them do it right here in Egypt. In other words, compromise, right? And here Moses now, you know, he kept saying no, because God said that, I'm going to bring my people out. We're going to go to a land that he prepared for them, flowing with milk and honey. I want them to go 3 days. This was in Exodus chapter 3. He said that. I want you to go 3 days out of Egypt. So Moses, because he heard the word of God, it gave him the boldness to stand before Pharaoh. It was the word of God spoken to him that gave him that boldness, that he could stand there and say, no, because I know what God said. God said 3 days out. 3 days represents what? Death to the old. But Pharaoh kept saying, it's okay. I understand you want to go to church on Sunday, but just leave your affections in the world. Just leave your love. Just keep loving the things of the world. You can go to church on Sunday all you want, but just, you know, just be like everybody else in the world. Keep loving the world. Keep your affections on the things of the world. Satisfy your flesh with the things of the world. But that's okay. Go to church on Sunday. But, you know, Moses said, no, that's not what it is. The Lord told us to come out and be separate and to go 3 days out and to worship him. And that's how the enemy works today. You know, and it robs our boldness. When we compromise with him, we are no longer bold, because we know there's a wavering in our stance because we've compromised. Remember, James says that a double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways. I can't be stabilized. I can't be bold if I've got this compromise going on. But, you know, that's the way the enemy works. If he can just get us to make decisions based upon the feeling of the flesh instead of upon the Spirit and upon the Word of God. Amen? So we're going to have some worship time. And then we'll have another break, and then we'll have some more of the Word, and we'll go on there. But the Lord wants to infuse us with His boldness. He wants us to be so confident in Him, so sure in His Word, that we stand in the midst of whatever it is. You know, come the wind, come whatever, we're standing in the boldness, trusting our God. Like Paul said, hey, I know who I believed in, and I know He's faithful. He'll keep what I've committed to Him, you know, against that day. In other words, no matter what I do for Him, as long as I do it for Him, and long as I do it according to His Word, then nothing is going to go wasted. It all counts, and it all has a purpose, and I'm going to continue to stand strong. Amen? So boldness. Okay, Dave, let's worship the Lord. Amen. Come on, rise up in boldness. We're going to worship God. The presence of God's going to fall in here. We're going to feel His presence. We're going to enjoy the excitement of His presence, you know, in an awesome way tonight. We can be bold because He said, remember, His Word gives us boldness. He says that where two or more are gathered, He is here. So He's here right now. Amen? So let's be bold and trust in His presence.
This place, all this place, come and His anger is. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see so clearly.
Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Sing out. Let it rain. Let it rain. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all peoples will see his glory. Oh, we want to see your glory, God. Oh, God, we want to see your glory. You want to see his glory? Lift your voices. Lift your hands. We want to see your glory, God. Oh, send down your power. Oh, God, send your glory. We want to see you move in our generations, oh, God.
We just ask that you'd open the floodgates of heaven, Lord. We just ask, God, that, Lord, that whatever it is that separates us right now from receiving, Lord, whatever heaven has for us tonight, Lord, I ask that you'd open those gates right now in the name of Jesus. We declare you as Lord. We declare your word to be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Lord, even when we don't live up to or can't live up to your word, we still proclaim it is true. And I thank you for your grace, God, that continues to pour into our lives, oh God. But I thank you, Lord, that your grace brings us to the place where you can pour into our lives and fill us, Lord, with who you are. Lord, I ask tonight that heaven would rain down upon us. That, Lord, that your will, your authority, Lord, your presence, Lord, your plans, everything that you have, God, your reign, Lord, would come and rule in each one of our lives, Lord. Just reign and rule in our lives, oh God. Lord, that's what we desire, Lord. We desire the reign and rule of the living God in each one of our lives. Lord, every aspect, every area of our lives, Lord, let it reign, Lord. Let the floodgates open up right now. Let heaven open up right now to each and every one of us. Lord, you walked on this earth and you said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Lord, tonight it's at hand to us just as much as it was then. So Lord, let it rain. Let it rain. We thank you, God. We worship you, Lord. There's no other God but you. There's no other way. Where else can we go? You alone have the words of life. Lord, there's no other way. There's nothing. There's nothing else that promises that can give us, Lord, the water that we never thirst again. You and you alone, Lord, are the giver of all good gifts, Lord. And tonight we've just come to this well. We just come to draw to this well. And Lord, we thank you that we know, Lord, that when we come to this well, we ask you for a drink. So we're asking you for a drink tonight. Living water quenches the thirsting of our soul, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would just quicken our minds tonight, just to be in the realm of your Spirit, to have our minds set on the things of the Spirit. Lord, deliver us, Lord, from the mind of the flesh and the carnal mind, oh God, that is inherent to our natural being. God, I pray that you deliver us by allowing us, Lord, to comprehend the things of the Spirit. Your word says if we just walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And Lord, we just tonight we want to, Lord, just dive deeper into your Spirit. Lord, to have our minds set on the things that of the kingdom of heaven. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come to enable us to do that. That you are our connection to the very mind of Christ, the very Spirit of God. Thank you that you're in us. Thank you that you come to reveal to us all that's ours in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that there's more than we could ever imagine or comprehend. Let the gates, floodgates be open tonight. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. There's no other God but you. You and you alone, O Lord. Thank you, God. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. I ain't going to help. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to go to Romans so that we can pick up where we left off last week a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who's a good reader? I'm gonna start in Romans 7. 23, I think. And then we'll keep reading. Stop, pause when you get to chapter 8, but read 23 down.
But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law.
Okay, that's it, right? We're finished with 7? Okay. John 3:6 says, we read this last week, whatsoever is born of flesh is flesh, and whatsoever is born of spirit is spirit. And Paul is trying to teach us here that both of these things are at work. Both of these things are in play. So in our, each one of our lives, you know, there's, like we talked about last week, there's two laws, and there are two natures, you know, our old man and our new man, you know, at play here. And at the same time, it would be so much easier, you know, if the Lord just kind of gave us a rebirth, we were born again, and boom, our flesh was dead, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be easier. But my belief is that it is part of what God's doing. It's part of when the Lord, in the beginning of creation, decided he was going to create himself, one new man. And I believe that his intention of creation from the beginning includes what's going on in our life right now. Because through our walk in our life with him right now, we are being transformed into the image of his son. And the Bible tells us that it's his desire that we be created, or we be transformed into the image of his only son. So the transformation process, being lost and being found, being inadequate but finding our confidence and adequacy in him, and all of this that we're going through right now, I believe is part of the Lord's creation in making us the new creation that he desires. And so right from the beginning, this whole thing about the mind of the flesh or the mind of the spirit, we can keep reading, and it says that, you know, those who walk in the spirit have their minds set on the things of the spirit. Those who walk in the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. This whole dual thing is going on. And even in the Garden of Eden, when Eve, we know the story of, you know, she was tempted to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so what the enemy had to do is get her to decide for herself, apart from what she heard from God, what was right and what was wrong. And the minute he could get her to make a decision without the revelation of God, without God's speaking into her life, when she made that decision on her own, and therefore she was making it in the strength of her flesh, then she was not able to comprehend. It made sense for her to eat of that tree. Made perfect sense. Because what was in the creation then was the fact that God had a plan that when we see him, we'll be like him, that we will be transformed into the very image of his son. So Satan comes along and says, if you eat of that tree, what's going to happen? You're going to be like God. There was a desire in Eve to be like God. And it wasn't wrong, because that's how she was created. She was created. He said, let us create man in our image. So it wasn't wrong for her to have that desire. She knew there had to be more to life than just being a gardener and taking care of animals. She knew there was more to it, and so she knew it. But she went in the strength of her flesh to fulfill it. And whenever we put aside the word of God, put aside what we know, the desire and the plans of God to fulfill something, then it's always being done through the arm of the flesh. And the arm of the flesh always, always takes the value of God's word and decreases it to where it makes sense to our fleshly mind. Because the mind can't comprehend. The carnal mind cannot comprehend the things of the spirit. It's like two different languages we don't understand. The carnal mind cannot comprehend it. So if the enemy can get you to work out of your carnal mind, then you're flying blind in the spirit. That's how people make all kinds of decisions and compromise and get in trouble, because they're going out of the mind of the flesh. In other words, well, God loves everybody. It's a truth. God loves everybody. So, you know, we're just going to, you know, it's okay if they have that lifestyle and they're in the front pew of the church and they can even be sharing up front. They can be on our worship team and still have that lifestyle because God loves everybody. No, of course not. That's not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is, yes, God loves everybody, but he's come to deliver people out of sinful lifestyles. Amen?
Right.
And so what happens is that in our own, if we're in the mind of the flesh and we're trying to decipher the things of the Spirit and we're making our decisions in the flesh and not in the Spirit, then we're going to make decisions on things that it may look good, but there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that is destruction. So the key is what the Lord is trying to get us to do is to keep our mind on the things of the Spirit and not on the things of the flesh. And one of the ways that we can keep our mind on the things of the Spirit is walk in obedience to his word.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about let's beat ourselves into obedience. What I'm talking about, as it says in 1 Corinthians, was it 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians 10:4, where it says the weapons, let's turn there, because we quote it all the time, and I want to quote it exact. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Yeah, you can quote it, but I want to read it. If I could read, I'd probably be better off at it. Someone want to start reading chapter 3 and go down through chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Do I have a reader? Nice and loud. So the weapons of our warfare, a lot of the other translations are going to say they're not carnal or they're not fleshly, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds, right? Strongholds, pulling down. You see, the weapons that he's talking about not only will protect us from the attack of the enemy, but we can walk in the enemy's camp and just rip down a stronghold. And what is that weapon he's talking about? The weapon is that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because that's exactly what that's talking about. When you're taking every thought into captivity, putting it under the Lordship of Christ, that, my friend, is walking in the Spirit. That's what walking in the Spirit is. It's not this, ooh, ooh. There's plenty of ooh along with it, but that's not what walking in the Spirit is. Walking in the Spirit is simply walking according to God's word. Yes.
It's the same boldness and confidence that David had when he faced Goliath.
Right.
He knew when he stepped up there what God's power could do and how he was going to accomplish it. Because God had that, God told him, you know, he had that confidence, he knew God's power. There was no doubt in his mind.
Right, absolutely. And that's the, we talked earlier about the breath of God. That's the breath of God. I mean, the breath and the Spirit's all the same thing. So the breath of God, bringing life into our situations, right? Walking in the Spirit. Like you're saying, David, you know, the rest of the whole army of Israel, right? It made sense to them to go sit in the tent and not fight because they're looking at this thing by sight saying, whoa, I don't want to mess with that. You know, it's better for me to stay in the tent. You know, but David comes and he's got his mind on the Spirit. Why? Because all he understood was, I have a covenant with God. And I've seen God, you know, help me beat the lion and the bear. This is no different. You know, with God, all things are possible. And there he went. And boom, down goes the giant. Right? And now, David, now the stage is set. Because the interesting thing was, King Saul was chosen by the flesh. David was chosen by the Spirit. Because the Lord said, He's to the prophet. He said, man looks on the outer, but God looks upon the heart. And whenever you're talking about the inner man, you're talking about the house of the Spirit. You're talking about the realms of the things of the Spirit. When you're talking about the inner man, you're talking about what is causing me to make decisions, what is causing my life to tick, where is the center of this life that you know that is happening. And we're talking about the Spirit. Like we're talking about the unseen, not walking not by sight, you know, but by walking by faith. You know, faith is the eyes of the Spirit. You see? Faith is the eyes of the Spirit. So when I'm saying, okay, God, I believe your word, and so that is what I see, then now all of a sudden I'm seeing with the eyes of the Spirit. You know, and I'm walking in the ways of the Spirit. And so anyway, we read, what did we read? 7 all the way to the end of the chapter there. And I just got done reading 2 Corinthians about the weapons of our warfare. They are mighty, right? They pull down strongholds. It's taken every thought into captivity. Everything that would exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ, it's going to pull down, right? That is where our warfare is. That's where we win the battle. That's where we advance victoriously, is when we take anything that is coming at us, any thought, any processing that we're doing with our mind, any decision making that we're doing, we do it all under the Lordship of Jesus. Amen? Amen? And when we do that, guess what that does? That releases the authority of heaven, and that allows us to walk in the ways of the Spirit, and we end up in a place of authority and walking over the storm, over the water, walking, stepping out of the boat, walking in the water, being in the lion's den and petting the lion instead of the lion eating us, being in the furnace, walking with Jesus in the heat of the furnace. You see? That changes everything. It puts us in a whole different realm of life. Amen? And that's where we want to live. And it's not a make-believe world. The spirit world is more real than what you're seeing. It's been around longer. It's going to last longer. It's more eternal. It's more real. In fact, Hebrews says everything you see is created out of what is what? Unseen. Where's that scripture, Robert? You don't remember? I was putting you on the stage, ready to just say, wow, what a scholar he was. So anyway, where was I? Oh, let's go back now to Romans, because we wanted to read. I talked about reading. Yep, I asked. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit. See, the one thing to remember, whenever we go back to that tree of knowledge, whenever we're operating on that tree of knowledge, that's the flesh. Okay, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay, is our flesh. And Satan said to Eve, if you go there, if you eat there, if you partake of that, you know, then you're going to be like God. Guess what? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, right? That the flesh will always, always compromise, because it has to take the truth of God, it has to take the revelation of God and reduce it to something that makes sense to its own mind, its own thinking. You see, it has to do that. It has to be able to equate it into terms that it feels it can understand. So your flesh is always going to take the word of God and decrease it down to a place of compromise. And that's why that's all the enemy has to get us to do, is make decisions out of our flesh instead of out of the Spirit. And he can defeat us because he knows that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, nor can our carnal, natural mind even comprehend the things of the kingdom. Amen? Romans 8. How far are we going to read there? I don't know. Just keep reading. We'll find out. Anybody else want to read? Or are we going to make Laura do all the reading? She sounds good. You like her translation? Which one is that?
NIV.
Yeah. NIV? Okay.
Keep reading?
Yeah. Yep. Amen. So we are heirs. We have an inheritance, and that inheritance is not in the flesh, but it's in the spirit. And it's in the new man that we have been birthed into, you know, through Christ, through the Spirit. And there's an inheritance there. There is a value there. And it says that we have an obligation, but it's no longer to our flesh, but it's to our spirit. And it's kind of like, you know, the obligation of, you know, as being a fellow human being, you know, we need to have respect for one another. We, you know, there's obligations that we seem to put on ourselves as human beings, you know. But there's a higher obligation. There's a higher standard. And that standard is one of the Spirit. And that he's saying that we no longer are going to be living by the standard of the flesh. We're living now by the standard of the Spirit. But it's not a works thing. It's not something that we're going to try to beat ourselves to make it happen, because it's not going to happen that way. It happens simply because we were birthed that way. It was birth. We've been given the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. And when we allow ourselves to live according to the Spirit, then the flow of that life will bring us to a place that we are in proper perspective to our Father. Amen? It's not a matter of me in the flesh trying to live in proper perspective of God. It's like Paul says, I reckon my flesh to be dead. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You see, it's a matter of taking that transition now. And I believe in what Paul was writing there, he was showing us that there's a life to live there. You know, there is the flesh and there is the spirit, and we now have an obligation. We now have a right to live. We now have an inheritance. We now have been adopted into a brand new life of the spirit. And if that is true, then I don't have to earn my way to spirituality. I've been birthed into it. You know, for me to right now just say, Lord, you know, I just want to fellowship with you in the spirit. I feel and I sense your spirit. You know, it's not weird, and it's not even presumptuous. It's not even because I'm such a good Christian that I've earned my place now to say, Lord, I'm going to fellowship with you in the spirit. It's just that we understand now that that's what we've been birthed into. You know, it's almost like, you know, understanding. Paul wrote about understanding the height, the width, the breadth of the love of God. He also wrote about that we would know, you know, all the value of the gifts of what God has given us, you know. And the greatest value is we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, one version says conveyed, into the kingdom of his son, right? And it's a spiritual kingdom that we're in. So we have been given a place and a right in the spirit. So how does this look to us? You okay, Carrie? All right. Lord bless you. Give you fresh breath, wind. Amen. You see, sometimes it's easy to see in contrast. It's like the story of Jacob and Esau, right? And Jacob and Esau, when they were both born, right, Esau was the model person. He knew how to hunt. He knew how to make the best stew. He was very productive, right, where Jacob just kind of hung around the tent. You know, I think in today's standard, if we were looking for a husband for our daughter, we'd probably pick Esau if we were in the mind of the flesh. But we also know, as it says in Malachi, even the Lord says, Esau I've hated, Jacob I've loved, but Esau I've hated. He chose Jacob. It was a view of an example of the flesh and the spirit. Esau did everything out of his own strength. He went out, he was a hunter, and he was hungry, he'd go out and he'd kill it. He would, you know, did everything out of his strength. But Jacob, you know, just everything he did or everything he got was simply just because he was a son. He was a son. He stuck around the tent. In other words, you know, everything he needed was provided for him. He didn't go out and do it on his own. He received from his father. You see? The different characteristics of the spirit. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be lazy Christians. It just means that we are going to understand that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above. Amen. And in the decisions of life and the things that we do and how we move in this kingdom are passed down to us from our Father. It's not something that we go out and make on our own. You know, just like Eve, you know, like we said earlier, you know, within her very being, she knew, because in the beginning, in the creation, God's plan was he created them in the image of God. So for Satan come to say, eat this tree and you're going to be like God. Eat of this tree, you're going to be like God. You know, in the mind, in their natural flesh, it sounded good. And it met the desire that she had, that God created. But she went to do it in the arm of the flesh instead of in the spirit, you see? And that's how the enemy tripped her up. And it's the same thing with us. You know, just understand that the life he's given us, that the blessing of God, that the kingdom that he's given us, the victory that he's given in our lives, the fulfillment in our life, it is ours just to receive from our Father. It is ours as our inheritance. It is ours, you know, it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. How does the Spirit work? You know, think of it. If you got something you're fighting, and we read you that scripture about how when he came to the king and said, you know, it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, and where is it? I forget where it is. Zechariah chapter 4, I think it is. Anyway, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Okay, well, that means, okay, not by might, not by power. I'm not going to go and physically fight. Then how is the victory coming to me if it's by the Spirit? Right? How's the victory coming? We're going to expect it from God, aren't we? We're going to believe our Father is going to give it to us. And we're going to listen to him. And we're going to obey him. And he's going to instruct us. You know? There's a couple examples in the Old Testament, you know, where, remember, the battle is not yours, but it's God, Jehoshaphat. Hey, the battle is not yours, but it's God. Stand still and see the glory of God. And as I begin to praise him, you know, the Lord messed up the enemy. You know? They got in the place where they could clearly grab a hold of the mind of God. They can clearly set their mind on the things above, and they can then take instruction. Hey, your position, you know, your place in this battle is you worship me and watch and see what I can do for you. Stand still and see the glory of God. See, being in the Spirit allows us to position ourselves to be able to get the mind of God on the situation. We're not running in panic. We're not being overwhelmed by the situation. We are allowing ourselves now in the Spirit to be able to get the mind of Christ. That's why it says in Philippians, don't worry about anything. You know? Don't be anxious about nothing. How many have followed that one to a T? You know? Don't worry about a thing. Absolutely nothing. No worries at all. Wipe them out. And any kind of worries you have, just bring them to God and let the God of peace guard your heart. Amen? And mind. That's right. And mind. And let him guard. It becomes a guard because now he is our peace. He becomes our peace. But we're to be anxious for nothing. The only place we can do that is in the Spirit. And how we get in the mind, how we get into the Spirit is we set our mind on the things of the Spirit. We set our mind on God. We include him in the equations of what we're doing. We allow ourselves to make the decisions based upon the Word of God, and that we purposely bring everything into subjection to the Word of God. And we walk and we live and we walk in the Spirit. That's why the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, right? And so as we move forward in the Spirit, we do it by applying the Word. And the Word of God, we can apply it because the Spirit of God quickens us to do so, right? If we set out in our own flesh just to fulfill the Word of God, guess what? It's not going to happen. We can't do it. But if we set out just to live and walk and move in the Spirit, which is where our inheritance is, which is who we've been born into now, then it will be supernaturally, naturally done. It'll become our nature because that's the nature of the Spirit. Amen? The nature of the Spirit is to walk in the Word of God.
He has big shoulders. He's God, and he can take care of it.
And that's putting it in subjection to him. And that's, in other words, that's coming and saying, you know what? We got all this stuff in our life that I don't like. But right now, in light of who you are, Lord, you are greater than all that stuff. You know, I believe that you've given me a life that goes beyond all this stuff. You know, I believe, Lord, that you are greater and that you are able to keep your promises in my life, even with this stuff going on.
Yes.
You know, and I believe your promise, I believe your word, and that's how it's going to be.
Yes.
You know, and that's what Moses had to keep doing. We talked about Moses before Pharaoh. Pharaoh kept saying, hey, that's okay, Moses. I got a great deal here. You guys can worship your God, but you're going to do it right here. And Moses could have, it would have been easier for him in the flesh, and it would have made more sense to say, okay, that's not too bad. We can compromise that. But no, Moses, God spoke directly to Moses and said, Moses, this is what we're going to do. And so Moses had the boldness because of the word that he heard from God that he could stand in. And he could say, no, that is not what we're going to do. It's going to be just as God said. Amen?
That's what I've been doing all along.
Amen.
And it works.
Yeah, remember in Acts 27, we talked about this a few times, where Paul was on the shipwreck when he was going to Rome, and everybody was freaking out. They were throwing their life savings into the water because they thought the boat was being busted apart and they needed to get the weight off the boat. So they were throwing their life savings over. They were giving up everything. They were scared to death. They thought for sure they were going to die. And they go and they get Paul, and Paul says, hey, guess what? I've been talking to God.
That's right.
And you know what God says? The ship may wreck, but every one of us are going to be alive. And the Lord said, I'm supposed to go to Rome, and that's exactly what's going to happen. I believe it's going to be just as the Lord has said.
Yeah. So, right.
So that's what gave him the strength and the boldness and the confidence was in God.
What? Well, I just wanted to share. I don't know if I shared with you, Kim. It's been a while, you know, since I've been away, but I guess it's been about 3 or 4 years now. I had gone into the hospital to have a second surgery after I had cancer. So I had to go back in because somehow it had created a hernia, and it was small enough that they were worried about it was going to cause me problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and had surgery. Everything seemed to go great. Sent me home. But when I got home, a few days later, I started developing a fever. And so they took me back in on Friday night or Friday afternoon, and I was running a fever, and they wanted to do blood work. See what my white blood cell count was. And I didn't hear back from until Monday. Well, by Monday when I got to the doctor's office, it was 85 degrees outside and I had a blanket around me.
Hmm.
And I walked into the doctor's office with 104.7 fever. So they rushed me over to the hospital, put me in, and I didn't remember too much more from that because I was really out of it, kind of. But I do remember them taking me down and having to get as much of the infection, they decided that I had an infection, as much of it out of my body as they could. And they took a 2-liter bottle of container of liquid out of my body. That's how much infection I had. And then they discovered that it was staph infection with MRSA on top. Now, the only antibiotic that fights that is Bactrim, and I'm highly allergic to it. So that was their first battle. They didn't know how they were going to fight this infection. And so they had me on the antibiotics and had me in the hospital overnight. And the next morning, about 8 o'clock, the chief surgeon came down. And I thought, this cannot be good when the chief surgeon comes. And he said, well, we got to go back in because we got to make sure that we got all the infection that we can get out. And we had to take the mesh out to repair that they've used to repair the hernia. And I said, okay, thinking, oh, you know, they'll take me in a couple, oh no, we're going in within the hour. So I said, well, you have to let me call my husband. I want him here before I go in.
Mm-hmm.
So they waited, let me sit at the hospital.
Amen. Absolutely. Praise God for that. Let's praise God for that miracle, huh? And tonight, it's I think what I keep hearing from the Lord is boldness. You know, believe in me. You know, and when the children of Israel went out with Moses, and remember they were up against the sea, and the Egyptians were coming behind them, and the sea was there, right? And Moses, you know, went to God and said, God, what are we going to do with these people? And he said, Moses, tell the people to go forward. The sea's there. He says, tell them to go forward. He says, Moses, you take the staff that you have in your hand. You take what I've given you, and you go forward. And you keep going forward. And that takes boldness to keep moving forward in the Lord when things seem to be crushing in on you. Things don't seem to be going right. Things don't, you know, all of these different things. Staying in a forward momentum in the things of God. Just trust in Him. Believe in Him. God, your word, you are awesome. You are incredible. You know, you might be like ready to go bankrupt, you know, no job, sick. You know, this, that, all these things could be just totally wrong with you. But when you connect with Him in the Spirit, you're just so amazed at how awesome He is. And you're just, God, you're just incredible. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful life that you've given me. You have made me to be more than a conqueror. In fact, you've given me an inheritance that's better than anything in this world. I've got the kingdom of heaven as an inheritance. Lord, we're going to keep moving on. We're going to keep believing you. Lord, we are going to be bold in you, bold in the Spirit, in God. Not our confidence in flesh, but our confidence in God and the Holy Spirit. Amen? So confidence, boldness, moving forward. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you'd breathe a breath of boldness upon us. Lord, we talked last week, Lord, about how you took a group of men in the upper room from disappointment and discouragement to expectation, Lord, and being able to walk in your ways. Father, you breathe your breath upon them. Lord, you gave them the very breath of life, Lord, that enabled them, Lord, to go from that place of discouragement, dismay, worry, and fear, Lord, to keep moving forward in your kingdom and come to the place of expectation at Pentecost, believing for the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon their lives. Father, I ask that you just release us from tension, Lord, from fears and troubles. Lord, and you do that by giving us access in the Spirit. Yes. Father, even as John on the island of Patmos, when you spoke to him, you said, John, come up here. Father, let us hear the upward call of the Spirit tonight. Let us be lifted up out of, Lord, sorrow and trouble and hard times, Lord, into the place of the inheritance of the saints of God and in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for this kingdom that cannot be shaken. Your word says that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Lord, I thank you for this kingdom. I thank you for the kingdom of God that we've been given access to. And I thank you, Lord, that even right now we come boldly before the throne of the King of this kingdom. And we say, Lord, here we are. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving us access to your throne. Thank you, Lord, for giving us access to your kingdom. Thank you for giving us the benefits of your kingdom. Lord, we get to walk through this life with the King of glory. We thank you, Father. We praise you. And Lord, we've come to the place of expectation. We expect you to show up in our life in ways that we may not even imagine or think. Because God, you are the God, Lord, of miracles. You are the God of expectation. Thank you for it, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.